morning, judges.
Please proceed.
The Patent Office in this case did not carry its burden of proof in citing the Jaeger reference. Under the obviousness test, Jaeger is a dead end. Jaeger accepts the existing system as is and teaches users how to work within the system. Gordon does not work within the system. She changes the system. She created a sui generis system that did not exist anywhere before. And the invention is a game changer because Jaeger is a lot of hard work. Anyone who has ever tried to count calories knows how difficult it is to weigh and measure food. And in reality, Jaeger is even worse than it sounds, because with Jaeger, you have to weigh and measure 16, 18, 20 meals a day. Spend your day weighing, measuring food, and not going to work to pay for the food you want to eat. In Gordon's system, there is no hard work. It's very simple. You just count packages. In Gordon's system, you don't need Jaeger. Jaeger becomes moot. That is not a sufficient reference to decline packages.
If everybody knows what you just said, that it's difficult to count calories and weigh food, why doesn't that make it obvious to modify Jaeger to provide that part of the service? Because you just gave the motivation to make the change.
Nobody did it.
That everybody knows that this is the most difficult part. So
the problem has existed for decades. Nobody has come up with a solution. It isn't that obvious. And the solution is so far removed from what normal people do every day.
Normal people don't buy 100 pop top 100 calorie tuna cans that are readily available.
At one point, that's hearsay evidence, at one point in 2001 or 2000, there happened to be one can.
Hearsay is the Seri reference.
Right. So the author of that article said that there was some can of tuna in some supermarket. Even with a can of tuna and a can of Pepsi, two items in a supermarket that could have 10, 20, 30,000 items, which represents 0.002% of a store's inventory. How could that be construed as a system which would disclose or suggest anything to somebody who is trying to solve this problem? And those references, the Sayre and other secondary references, can't be combined with Gordon, because Gordon is a diet plan which has some threshold requirement for nutrition. And these references show a can of tuna and a can of Pepsi, which is 100 calories, which isn't even diet Pepsi.
None of that threshold requirement for nutrition is contained in any of these claims. Only thing in this claim is 100 calories, period. There's nothing that says must be divided between protein and vegetables. There's nothing at all in these claims that pertain to what you just said. It says 100 calories, period. So a can of soda, if it says 100 calories, meets this claim.
Two points. One point is that the claim requires different types of food. And the second point is that the references can't be combined. So the first step is trying to decide whether the references can be combined without using the claim as hindsight to reconstruct the prior art.
Well, Lunchables contain different types of food, and they have a plurality of packaging. If someone had just put 100 calories on the front of the Lunchables, then it would fall within these claims, right?
It would be...
You know what Lunchables are, I assume.
I imagine it's a little kit of it's a meal that that has an assembly of food inside the meal. No, because that would be, again, maybe that's a third item in an inventory of 10 or 20,000. That does not suggest a system where one could collect 100-calorie packages and count calories by simply counting the packages. But Jaeger is a diet plan, and she does have a threshold requirement for nutrition.
Where is that in the claims?
It doesn't have to be in the claims, because what we're talking about at the beginning is combining whether or not these references can be combined. If we look at the claims to define how we're going to combine the references, then that would be hindsight. The references need to be combined based on what their established functions are and what they fairly disclose or suggest, then we could determine whether the references could be combined. once they're combined, which they can't be in this case, but once they are, then you determine whether the claimed invention is disclosed in that combination. And the claimed invention, no, it does not say nutrition, but it does have a requirement for different types of food. And the claim, the subject matter of the invention as a whole, is a diet plan to count calories and eat healthy. And Jaeger, the secondary references, can't be combined with Jaeger because Jaeger specifically says eat nutritious food, and Jaeger certainly does not suggest that you can practice her diet by eating tuna and drinking Pepsi. Not enough. There's no substantial evidence of enough 100-calorie packages within the context of a Jaeger diet that would give anybody the suggestion that you can create a system out of that. And in practical terms, at the time of the invention, how would one go about collecting 100-calorie packages? Based on the prior art, you would have to look in a supermarket, aisle by aisle, shelf by shelf, looking at item by item until you find something that might have 100 calories. And nobody in that circumstance would have a realistic expectation of finding anything systematic.
If by chance I walked into the supermarket and I picked up a Pop-Tart and a soda can and two or three other items and they each were 100 calories, would I have infringed? I have six items in my shopping cart. They're all exactly 100 calories, and I am leaving the supermarket. Have I infringed?
Well, you certainly would not have precluded patentability, because now you've raised the probability of finding a system from 0.0002%, maybe 0.0006%, and that still doesn't make a system. In order to preclude patentability, you would have had to...
Would I infringe? If I infringe, would there also be an anticipation?
No.
Well, deal with the infringement first. Did I infringe? Six things in my cart?
Well, if you had... No, because those things you have would not have had an indication, as the claim requires, that this is an element of a system that you would combine to practice the invention. You combine multiple of these elements and collect 16, 18, 20 of them and count them.
But I don't need to know that there's a patent to infringe. I don't need to know that I'm infringing to infringe. It's not an intent matter. It's a strict liability. If I have, in fact, bought six items, each at 100 calories, have I not infringed?
If those packages don't have the indicia that are in the claims, no.
Indicia being 100 calories.
But they will have 100 calories on it. That's, of course...
The claim requires more than that. The claim requires that the predetermined caloric content is 100 calories and an indication that other food units of different types having the same uniform 100-calorie content are available to practice a system where you can collect the packages and count them. And honestly, if you had six items, and you couldn't base a diet on six items, or you could, but you might not reach.
I was in the line behind Judge Rader, and I bought a six-pack.
Could you move
one item?
Can you quickly comment on the printed matter doctrine, which is has a long history in our jurisprudence?
Yes, it does.
And a good part of what you're doing here depends upon that label, doesn't it? That printed matter.
Yes, but not all printed matter is treated alike. As Your Honor knows, printed matter could constitute a structural limitation on which patentability can be found. This printed matter...
Where we have allowed that are things like a slide rule or a marked measuring cup that are new. Mm-hmm. They've never appeared before, and it's a measuring, or it's a functional component beyond just the disclosure of the information in the printed matter. Mm-hmm. The data structure in Lowry was far more than just a disclosure of what was in the printed matter. So how do you see yourself lining up with those cases?
This printed matter is not just describing the content. It's not just describing how to open the package, how to eat the food, how to prepare the food. The printed matter, as a matter of fact, without that printed matter, you have the same food, the same package, the same instructions by opening.
The Seneca case was just dosages and instructions, right? Isn't that what you're doing? Just dosages and instructions?
No, because the instructions in that case, our instructions would be mix with water, heat in the microwave for 3 minutes. Those are inherent properties of food. This printed matter functionally couples a food package to other food packages to create an overall system. That the product exists, the invention does not exist without that printed matter creating an element of a system and multiple elements of the system. And in the AstraZeneca case, for example, those instructions that were printed on the package, they had value and use whether or not they were attached to the package because they described something inherent about the contents. In this case, the printed matter has absolutely no purpose apart from the elements of the system on which it is. It's a functional coupling of different elements of the system.
Would you like to save the rest of your rebuttal time?
Yes, please.
Ms. Miller, thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. The Board here correctly determined that Gordon's claims are obvious, and substantial evidence supports the factual findings concerning the scope of the prior art and the motivation to combine. What Gordon seeks here are generally two sets of claims. One set is the food unit claims, and those claims are essentially to food in a package with printed matter stating that that food in a package has 100 calories, and that other food units of a plurality of different types are available. The Board and the examiner treated that claim as also having the limitation that the food actually have 100 calories in the package. There are some dependent claims that are directly addressed to that limitation. In addition, Gordon claims a method of weight control, and that method is by controlling how many of those types of food packages one eats over a certain time period and monitoring how many of those one eats.
I guess I don't understand the point of all the stuff you're saying right now. Can you get to the heart of your argument, please?
Sure, Your Honor. Just to set up, Jaeger and Sayre, Jaeger and the combination of Sayre and Remington render those claims obvious, both the method claims and the claims to the food units. Jaeger teaches eating 100 calorie portions in order to lose weight over a specified time period. Sayre teaches that 100 calorie cans of tuna were available, containing 100 calorie tuna in a package. And the Nutritional Labeling Education Act, as of 1990, required all foods sold in a package to have a label stating the serving size and the calories per serving size in the package. The Board correctly found that there was motivation, and finally, Remington teaches that Pepsi, for example, a bottle of Pepsi has 100 calories for the entire can. The Board correctly determined that there was motivation to combine Jaeger with Sayre and the other secondary food references like Remington in order to save consumers time. The Board determined that if you knew Jaeger's method, that you just needed to eat 100-calorie foods, it would be convenient.
You're giving us a lot of information out of the specification to kind of fill in these claims, but just looking at the claim, which defines the scope of the property right here, wasn't I right that I infringed when I went in that supermarket and bought six different items of food that each had 100 calories?
Your Honor, I think you are right about that. And what anticipates, what infringes later anticipates, if earlier. The board was rather generous, I think, with these claims. But looking at just the food claims, aside from the method claims, which I don't think you would have infringed in Your Honor's example, the food claim is really just food in a package. And when you don't look at the printed matter.
And there's an assembly, which is just packages with 100 calorie markers on them, right?
That's my six pack.
Now, to be fair, Your Honor, some of the assembly claims do require a plurality of foods, but then the two types, if you had the tuna and the Pepsi in your shopping cart, you would have a plurality, more than one.
Well, I was just going to ask, if we resolve this case on anticipation or obviousness or some combination, do we need to reach printed matter?
Your Honor, I think that you do need to still reach printed matter because there's one limitation, that indication in print stating a plurality of different types of food that are available that the examiner did not find prior art. That does not necessarily mean there isn't any, but the examiner did not specifically find prior art as to that limitation. So this court does need to agree with the board and the examiner on the printed matter question.
Give me your definition of the difference between Miller, Gulak, and Lowry, where they were found to be patentable subject matter, and AstraZeneca and Nagai, where they were not.
Yes, Your Honor. The court's cases where there is a new and non-obvious functional relationship between the printed matter and the substrate require a real interrelationship between the print and the substrate, such that they basically create a new function for the substrate. For example, in Gulak, one had a band, a circular band, and a series of numbers. By combining the series of numbers and the band,
Is that the slide rule sort of thing?
That one was,
kind of a mathematical device.
A mathematical device that allowed an algorithm of prime numbers and calculations to be made because the numbers were on an endless loop. And having the numbers on the loop allowed the calculations, allowed math theory examples and magic tricks to be performed. If one did not have the numbers on the loop, one could not perform those calculations.
Well, I would imagine Ms. Miller's argument would be the 100 calories is the same thing to the diet plan. If you don't have the 100 calorie information on the label, then somebody can't track the amount that they're eating to be within the diet plan. So I imagine that would be her response to you. What would you say causes this label to be different from the system you just described that was at issue in the other case?
Yes, Your Honor. I feel like this the label here falls squarely into the Nagai AstraZeneca King precedent, which is really just like a set of instructions. It doesn't have to be on the can to work. You could have a little instruction sheet next to the can that says these have, not on the can, but next to the can, or on the internet saying that the can has 100 calories. And the whole method would still work, would still function. There's no new functionality created with the food by virtue of having the printed matter on the can or on the food itself. Unlike, for example, the print for the endless loop, where if you take them off and put them next to the loop, it doesn't work. Or unlike, for example, the measuring cup in Miller, where if you don't have the
functional as opposed to simply imparting information.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that the way you would characterize it?
Yes, Your Honor. I think if you could, what counsel says is the instructions here couple the diet plan together, the different cans together. But coupling isn't enough under this court's precedent. Coupling would be like a kit, like Nagai, where you have instructions and elements of a kit, or an element in a kit. And instructions really say what you should do with a kit. You take the reagent, you put it in the beaker, and then you mix it up. And that couples, that's right, but that's not the type of functional relationship that this court's precedent requires. It would be as if for the eyelash case that we were just talking about, if there were a compound that was known in the prior art that lengthened eyelashes, that could not be made patentable merely by adding a set of instructions and a brush to put it on your eyes. unless this court has any more questions.
We thank you very much. And Ms. Miller, you have a little over 3 minutes.
Well, coupling is enough because under Lowry, the court held that the printed matter must perform a function and, quote, Gulak requires no more. And coupling is a function. It's not. It doesn't say anything about the inherent quality.
It said it would work even without the coupling. I go on the internet and it says buy these six foods, the same six foods I was buying in my hypothetical. Am I not infringing?
No, we're ignoring a claim element. And
what is that?
The claim element is element number two. No, I'm sorry. C2, for example, of claim 23, where the indication indicates an availability of other food units of a plurality of different types of foods, each of said plurality of different types of foods having said predetermined caloric content.
Well, I told you, I bought a Pop-Tart, and I bought a soft drink, and I bought a little package of carrots. You've seen the little carrot packages, and so I had a variety of different food groups.
But they don't have indicia, which helps you
functionally. It says on 100 calories.
It has to do more than that. Gordon is not claiming just 100 calories on a package. That, fine. If it was that, then we would have a 102 problem with that can of tuna, whatever that was. There's an entire separate claim element which has been ignored, and it requires, and it is required to effectuate the system as a whole where you count packages. You don't have to count calories. You don't have to weigh and measure. You just count packages. That is the invention as a whole, and nothing in that prior art brings you there. And this is the problem with the printed matter.
It doesn't even say that in the claims, though. I'm looking
23.
At 23 and 51. I mean, 51 just says a plurality of food units, 100 calories, and it doesn't say much more than that.
It says availability of other food units.
Yes, and again, I've got the carrots and the Pop-Tarts. They're all
available.
But
what do they say on the label? Fine, as a consumer, you may have done that yourself, but you would have had a really rough time at the time of the invention pulling all that together, and there was just no physical means for implementing this concept that you're talking about. And Gordon creates a system with those means, so you don't have to look aisle by aisle, shelf by shelf, looking something for anything with 100 calories. And this is the problem with the printed matter doctrine. And this court and its predecessor for decades have been cautioning against the rote application of that doctrine, exactly because it encourages the industry, the patent law industry, to ignore express claim elements in violation of Section 103. And Section 103 cannot give way to this judicial doctrine, which encourages a violation, which is exactly what happened here. And this is a perfect case to illustrate why the printed matter doctrine cannot be used as a litmus test instead of Section 103.
Thank you very much, Ms. Miller.